If you are looking for even more help and guidance on your breakup, I have a few different options for you to take your healing to the next level. I have 4 different online courses depending on what stage of the breakup that you're in, from beginning all the way into moving on after heartbreak. Or you can bundle all of my courses together and use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. I also have my 30-day no contact challenge to help hold you accountable in going no contact with your ex. And we have our free Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with other people going through breakups all over the world. To learn more about any of these resources, head to the show notes where you can learn more about my courses, take the quiz to figure out which course is best for you, or join the Facebook group. And don't forget to use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. Welcome to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast with your host, Breakup Bestie, aka me, Kendra. Breakups are hard, but you don't have to do it alone. Each week, I will be taking you through a different topic as it relates to breaking up, healing from heartbreak, growing in your single life, dating, and getting back into happier and healthier relationships. The goal of this show is to provide support, hope, tips, and to remind you that above all, this too shall pass. Welcome back to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. Today I have a listener interview that is very different than ones that I've done in the past. And I'm so excited that Kevin reached out to me and wanted to share his story. So he went through breakup after a 4-year relationship. They had just bought a house, they were engaged, they had a dog, and it really just, the breakup just really came out of nowhere. And he was finding himself very stuck in the breakup and having a really hard, he could feel that there was something stuck that was holding him back. And so through a very professional therapist that he had a long-term relationship with, he started exploring psychedelic treatment. So he did psilocybin, which is mushroom treatment, and MDMA treatment, all again. And I want to give a big disclaimer, this, the state he was doing it in, it was legal, it was done under a professional. This wasn't something that he just went off and figured out on his own. And he had a really, really profound experience through this healing. And I think as someone who has a platform in this area, I think it's so important that I'm able to bring different modalities of healing to you guys to explore. And I find his story very fascinating on how he went from feeling so stuck on his ex and not feeling like he could ever find someone to a place where he was really able to see himself for who he is. And it allowed him to change careers, change cities. He moved across the country. He's now with someone new and really had a total and complete shift in perspective of himself, which I think is something we all really desire, of being able to see ourselves for who we really are in a positive way. So I loved talking to Kevin. I'm very excited for you guys to hear his experience. And again, even if psychedelic therapy is not in your future, just being able to hear this really inspirational story of someone getting over their breakup in a really big way, I'm excited for you to hear that. And again, very grateful for Kevin coming on and sharing his story. Welcome, Kevin, to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. Very excited to have you on and talk about this subject. So really, really appreciate you sharing your experience.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
So let's back up. Let's start with, get a little context for the situation. Tell me a little bit about the relationship that you were in that led to the breakup, that then led to all this healing work.
Yeah. So I was in a long-term relationship, a little over 4 years in the making. Met before the pandemic, went through it together. We had moved in and bought a dog that came the day before everything shut down. And, you know, like a lot of people, we were looking to get some more space, especially with the animal. And so we bought a house and got engaged in that time frame as well. And we were really happy until just before the breakup happened. It happened in a matter of a couple of weeks. So it was really earth-shattering and like spun my whole world upside down super quickly. And, you know, some of the background for what kind of went on was that there's a family illness in my former partner's family that was slowly killing her mother. And it's an inherited disease. And so neither her nor any of her siblings ever tested themselves. It was sort of, do you want to know if you have a death sentence type of a thing or not? And so, you know, which I respect their decision either way, but she kind of had that hanging over her head for a long time. And she also had some trauma that we were, you know, working through together for a long time around a sexual assault that happened to her. And she was diagnosed PTSD. So, you know, there was a lot in terms of her relationship to love and family and feeling loved and what she deserved and expectations and things like that, that I think, you know, I was aware of, but didn't, I don't know that the depth was always fully disclosed. And so what ended up happening is we went to visit her family overseas, and we saw her mom, and she had deteriorated really quickly. And kind of after seeing that, she was already kind of suffering a little bit of just depression around the adjustment that we were making to the new neighborhood and the new house. It was quieter. She'd always lived in cities her whole life, you know, big cities around the world, like in India and Paris and all these places. So moving out to the suburbs was a huge change of pace. You know, we moved away from our friends, and so she was struggling with that. And then seeing her mom when we came back from that vacation, she just kind of looked around and said, I don't know what my life is anymore. And a major triggering event that kind of was the final straw that broke the camel's back was that I had an ex-girlfriend reach out to me kind of expectedly, unprompted. And it really put a lot of insecurity in her head in a time that she was already feeling really unstable, and just moved out and wouldn't talk to me. And I was trying everything that I could to try to put some context around the situation. And you know, we had a wedding coming up. And so once she sort of started talking to me again, you know, she expressed that she wanted to sell the house, that she had canceled all the wedding plans on her own. And so I fixed up the house to sell 6 months after we bought it. I, you know, went to my parents' house to try to recover and figure out what I was going to do next. I moved back to the city in an apartment and tried for, I mean, I tried for almost a year, but really hardcore tried for 6 months to fix the situation and see what I could do to support her, but bring things back to the place that they were at before that trip. And ultimately, you know, I wasn't able to kind of bring anything back. You know, I did all of the, you know, I wrote her a letter. I, you know, was babysitting the dog. I would bring her, you know, her favorite soup when she was sick. But, you know, she just had a lot of trauma around that life that we had built that maybe was too fast for her to start to take hold of. And I wasn't able to kind of bring things back around.
Wow, that is so sudden and so jarring. And I mean, especially not really having a lot of context and conversations around it obviously makes it so much harder. When, I guess ultimately my question is, could you place it on just being what she was going through? Did you take it personally? I mean, I feel like so many of us in that situation, I know a lot of people struggle with that, where it's like something the other person's going through, but it just feels like it's so hard to not take personally when you're the person that gets left out of the equation.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that there was anything more personal that could have happened. So,
yeah,
I mean, I took on a lot of responsibility for, and a lot of guilt for feeling like I wasn't supportive enough, or that, you know, I was getting frustrated that, you know, she was complaining about this house that we were at, and, you know, it was a beautiful place. And I was like, I don't understand, like, you know, everything in our life is great. But, you know, I wasn't really hearing what she was saying, which was that, you know, the adjustment was difficult for her. And, you know, I was in a stressful job at the time, and I wasn't paying enough attention. And I think, you know, I reacted really poorly when all of this finally came out and she said she was leaving. And I carried for a really long time a lot of weight and guilt and responsibility for how I reacted in that moment. Because I think if I would have reacted differently, maybe the situation would have been different. But yeah, I mean, looking back in hindsight, there's plenty that I wish I would have done differently. Although, there was a lot that I didn't know at the time either, I think. And, I did see some of the struggles that she was going through, and I tried to like reach out to our community and set up friend dates and all of the kind of things that I was trying to do. But, there was some resentment on my part as well when, my efforts weren't working. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of situations I could have handled better. I certainly don't put the blame all on her, but I think that there's a lot around her frame of mind that kind of colored the situation that I had no control over at the end of the day as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think when someone has made up their mind that strongly and has decided, I mean, so many things again color our frame of reference, but when someone has decided to see the world that way, I don't think there's a lot that can be done to shift that. Was in that, 6 months to a year that you were trying to make it work, was there any cooperation on her and that it might work, or was it always very much like, no, I don't want to get back together?
I think in the beginning there was a little bit more cooperation. She certainly wanted to sell the house, and that wasn't working. And at that point I was like, fine, I don't, the house doesn't mean more to me than you do. So sell the house, whatever. And once we were both back in the city, we moved like a quarter mile away, like literally blocks away from each other back in the city that we lived in. And so, especially when I would go see the dog, and we were talking still daily. We still said I love you to each other. There was some momentum kind of bringing us back together after that initial, shock and trauma of the break. But slowly it started to kind of fade away, where she just started cutting off contact and slowly, not responding as well as she was before. And it all just started to fade after about 3 months.
Okay. And what was the, I guess, turning point for you to stop the attempt of getting back together? I don't know if, I think you said that happened like around a year. What was the turning point for you that caused you to start really moving forward?
So about 6 months in, I wrote her this letter. It was a 10-page letter, and I had a collage of our, timeline of our relationship and these letters that she had written to me. And, I took some time and I got a hotel room actually to just focus on like, what can I put out there as my sort of last gasp? And I dropped that in the mail to her. And right before I went on a trip to Guatemala, actually. And I went there just with friends just to have a vacation. And it was, I had been going through so much. That was, I think, in my head, kind of said, there's not a whole lot more I'm going to be able to do at this point, but at least I'm putting everything out there. Maybe there were some things that I was tiptoeing around that I hadn't said because I was just trying to be really careful about her state of mind and, boundaries and things like that. And, at the end of the day, I just said, look, I got to tell her what's in my heart. And, see what happens. And, we did have some contact after that, but it was definitely more arm's length. But that 6 month, letter in the mail and trip to Guatemala really was a time for me to start on my healing journey. Even if I was leaving the possibility open, on the other hand, that was when I decided to start moving ahead.
And I feel like that's all it takes is is making somewhat of a decision to move forward, even if you are leaving the door open. Because I hear that all the time of people saying, I don't feel like I can move forward because I still have hope that it'll work out. And it's okay to still have hope that it's going to work out or even have somewhat of a door open. But the key there is making somewhat of a conscious decision to start moving forward anyway, just like in spite of the feelings and the hopes that you still have. So what did that look like for you when you got home from that trip or on that trip?
Yeah, and it's a good point. The leaving the door open, I think, is tricky sometimes too, because you don't want to just stop your life forever in the hopes that somebody's going to come back, right?
Yeah.
But I wasn't ready to start seeing anybody new or anything like that at that point either. So, but my decision was more around, I'm going to start healing myself, and if something else happens, then it happens, and I would be open to it. But I need to start to, put my heart back together. And so when I went on this trip, like I said, originally it was supposed to be a vacation. And I was starting to try to get back into my yoga practice, and it was this, wonderful place down in Guatemala, beautiful, and they had these yoga studios out on a hill, and you could see the lake that we were staying on. It was fantastic. And so I went to this yoga class just in the morning, and I met somebody down there who was the yoga instructor named Carlos, and just the best class that I'd ever had. And he would give people homework at the end of this class that was related to the community and helping yourself. And a lot of people were there kind of healing. And it really stuck with me. And I started going back to his class each morning. And then by the time we got done with our trip, my friends were like, "Hey, we came down here on vacation, but you seem to have been leaning into a different kind of a vibe that's going on here." And it is a place that people go to do deep work. And so I decided to extend my trip another 3.5 weeks. So I stayed down there almost a month, just
Wow.
continuing to go to these classes. And I was doing some healing ceremonies down there. And this man, Carlos, that I met, I told him about the situation, and he was one of the most empathetic people that I've ever come across in my life. And he really, expressed that he saw a light in me and a value that I had been missing since all of this happened. And he continued to give me this kind of homework to think about myself. And at the end of the trip, and for the whole class of people that were down there, he told a story that was an analogy about finding your own worth. And halfway through the story, we were all in Shavasana, and I could tell it was about me. And I just started crying. I was a heap of tears. And he had every person in the class hug me and wish me well on my journey, and all the things that I had been through. And I think after that experience down there, I started to see myself a little bit differently, and it really encouraged me in the work that I wanted to do moving forward, not only with how I wanted to approach myself, but how I wanted to approach the world.
Wow, it's so cool. I hear not this exact story, obviously, but so many stories of people who make this conscious decision that they're going to do something for themselves or consciously make a change. And it's just that like tiny little choice that we make and that like door that we crack open. And then something like that, something transformational comes into that space and helps us. It's like all we need is this willingness and then staying open to it, and then someone like a Carlos can come into the picture and really like show us this new way. If you don't mind me asking, do you feel like you had like didn't have a great sense of self-worth leading up to this? Like, what were some beliefs maybe that you were struggling with prior to all of that?
Before the breakup, I really felt like I was on top of the world. I thought that it was the best my life had ever been. And then when it all went away, I completely lost my sense of who I was. I was feeling terrible about myself. And yeah, I lost all sense of worth and confidence. And, just I felt like I wasn't able to get the type of motivation or operate in the world anymore in the way that I used to feel was easy for me.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I feel like a breakup can do that. And obviously, in the beginning, it's so scary and terrible to have that knocked away. But then it does reveal something of, oh, so much of my worth and happiness was related to a relationship or a particular person or whatever that looks like. And so then it leaves this opportunity to rebuild it on your own. And it sounds like that's what you were able to start doing through those classes. How did that translate to when you went home after a month?
Yeah, so when I went home, I mean, I had been seeing a therapist for, well, once this happened, I started back up into a therapy. I have been off and on in therapy for, a number of years, but things were going well, and there wasn't a need until this happened. At least I didn't think so. And then so I reconnected with a therapist that I had seen a while ago and had seen me through a lot of different chapters in my life. And as we kept talking, I just felt stuck. And she said, "Hey, listen, I do this other thing that you might be interested in." And it was legal in my state. And so I went to a ketamine therapy center, and I started doing infusions there to try to see if it would, unblock anything for me, or I could gain a different perspective. And, I didn't really have too many reservations about it. I had heard a lot about it in the news, and
Yeah.
I had read up on it beforehand. And we did some prep sessions, and it was all done in a super safe environment. And so that's what started me on my psychedelic journey, was coming back and really saying, okay, I want to go explore myself a little bit more and what is holding me back from moving on.
Yeah. I mean, I hear that all the time of people who are doing the work, you know, because it's one thing to feel stuck if you're like not willing to push forward. It's another thing to feel stuck when it's like, okay, I'm doing everything. Like something is just stuck here. And I have heard so many good experiences of people utilizing psychedelics or, you know, different therapies to be able to get unstuck. Did you see a big difference from the ketamine infusions, like right from the beginning?
No, so that was the thing. I still felt stuck. I mean, I felt like I could see that there was something there better. In one of the sessions, I said, it feels like there's this river inside of me, emotion, energy, feeling, thought, all of these things that is kind of being blocked right now. It's almost, dammed off. And I can get a little, drip or a stream of it, but I need to open those floodgates. And so I gave it a fair shot with the ketamine. I did a number of sessions there, but I just wasn't breaking through. And that's when my therapist said, well, I do one other thing. And, she hosts these retreats where people can do mushroom therapy with psilocybin or MDMA therapy or a combination of the two. And I didn't feel super comfortable doing it with a lot of people, so I did one session that was a more private session. We just went to a beautiful spot on the top of the hills somewhere outside of town. And, she's a pro. She studied this very carefully with people who, are researching this medically. And, as soon as the journey started to take hold, and she had, a great playlist, and we had done a bunch of prep work. What do we want to talk about? And I brought some things from my life and from the relationship that I could, use to feel into what I might be feeling, some books to that I could have her read some passages. And after that first session, things really changed for me. And that was like a major turning point.
What was the biggest sense of change that you felt or that happened through that?
I was able to start forgiving myself. And also, I was able to see myself in the way that I think a lot of other people actually do see me, but that I wasn't seeing myself, and was able to kind of take this different perspective and look at my life in a way that I was an observer versus being inside of it. And that helped me to start understanding who I was and how I was in relation to my career, in relation to my ex, in my relation to the things that I enjoy that I wasn't, tapping into anymore. And so just that perspective shift opened tons of doors for me to start exploring. And I did a couple more journeys after that. And then what I like to say is the first time I saw it, the second time I really felt it, and then the third time I started to understand it, and it being, myself and the situation and what I wanted to become.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. As someone going through a breakup, you are carrying around a lot of big stressors right now. And as you hear me talk about on this show, those stressors aren't something that you can stuff down and just hope they go away. If you ignore your heartbreak or ignore general stress in your life, it can begin to weigh on you and affect you in a number of ways. Therapy is a great way to begin processing those feelings you're carrying around and have someone to stay current with when it comes to thoughts, fears, and stressors. You don't want this heartbreak to weigh on you forever, and you don't want it coming up in future relationships. It's so important to process through what is on your heart. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/heartbreak today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/heartbreak. I know getting complete nutrition is really difficult as you're going through your breakup. Your appetite is probably low, and when you are craving food, it's usually not the most nutrient dense. Your energy is also probably very low as you're navigating a very emotionally exhausting process. So being fully fueled as much as you can is so important. This is why I love Equilibria's daily NutriGreens. It's not only an easy way to get your greens with the nutrients of over 35 fruits and veggies, but it also contains an immune antioxidant and detox blend along with prebiotics and probiotics. This daily powder supports digestion, boosts the immune system, boosts mood and energy levels, and helps detoxify the body. I have loved starting my day with the daily NutriGreens. Not only does it taste great, but it also feels like a win to start my day off right. I also love the energy it gives me throughout the day. So to get started with your daily NutriGreens, head to myeq.com and use code HEARTBREAK for 15% off Equilibria's daily NutriGreens and much more. That's myeq.com and use code HEARTBREAK at checkout for 15% off site-wide today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That's been a common theme I've heard from people who have gone through that experience, is it feels like it gives you this bird's eye view of yourself, where you're out of yourself and able to see yourself objectively, which, I mean, so much of like the self-help world tells you to see yourself as your best friend sees you, but it's not just something we can plop ourselves into. But I've heard this experience a lot with people using psychedelic therapies. How did it change your perspective specifically on your ex? Like what did it shift in you of an understanding of what happened or why it happened or why you felt so stuck?
I think I started to see a different perspective on some of the why behind what happened, and actually started to see that maybe there were things that were going on where I wasn't as fulfilled as I wanted to be. So it started to reveal that maybe we both weren't as happy as we thought. And that, you know, there was a lot going on that I was just trying to change, but I needed to make peace with and start to let go of trying to be, you know, in control of the situation or, you know, change her mind or anything. You know, I was able to just say, I can release all of this with love and still have love for her, but not have to feel like I'm kind of chained to that experience anymore, and that it's okay for me to do something else.
That's so cool. I would love everyone to be able to experience that with an ex, of saying, okay, I still have love for this person, but I can see that it wasn't the best thing that could have been for me. Because I think that's what so many people get stuck in, is I was so happy. I don't understand how it could have ended. And I don't understand how I can move forward or find something similar or better or whatever that looks like. So being able to have that gift of peace and being able to leave that is really powerful. And is that something that happens instantaneously after these experiences, or is this just opens the door and then you're continuously still healing and doing the work and then more comes to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's not instantaneous. I think that, but it opened the door, like you said. And I definitely was in that place that you described, where I was like, it's never going to get any better. You know, like, I'm never going to love anybody as much as this. All of those things were in my head constantly. But it opened the door to the possibility that, wait, maybe I can build a really wonderful life on my own. And actually, there's so many things that I love to do that I could go create in the world, that I just hadn't had the door open to even understanding that I could do that. And so, you know, I was able to see that for a moment. And then we did some integration work afterwards. So she took a lot of notes about what we had discussed and kind of the paths that we explored. And then we continued to talk about those things throughout the next few months in therapy and work through those themes and then figure out, if I wanted to come back to that in another state of, I guess, trying to see that different perspective and what might that second journey unlock. And so it was definitely progressive versus instantaneous.
Can I ask some just like logistical questions about the process?
Yeah.
So in that, do you remember everything that you felt or talked about, or is there any part of it that's like more blurry and you kind of had to be reminded based on the notes that the therapist was taking?
No, I mean, I remember it all. I remember
Okay.
how it felt. I remember the setting very vividly. I mean, in one hand, it was kind of fun too. Like,
Okay.
doing MDMA and mushrooms can be kind of a cool experience.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I definitely remember it. It was memorable. But I certainly remember all of the themes. And it's like I said, I didn't feel it until the third time, but I like started to see it and I could understand and go like, oh, okay, this, something could be different. And it's always a helpful reminder to go back to those notes. And, we would take, we would say like, oh, this is something that we should write down or we should work on. But yeah, I do remember it all.
Do you feel like it was something that when you were talking during those sessions, it was like things from your subconscious that just kind of came out, but you something you maybe never had realized before or had never, I guess, consciously talked about? Did it feel like stuff was coming up freely in that way?
Totally. There were two areas. I mean, I was also kind of, like I mentioned, I was in a really stressful job and career, and there was just a lot going on at the company at that time, and I was figuring out how to navigate it. And so between those, that and the relationship, I remember moments where I would kind of reflect on the things that I had done that were, either professional or personal that gave me a lot of joy or that I was very proud of. And then I was like, oh, wait a second, that's actually happened a lot in my life. And I'm actually really good at what I do. And I don't give myself a lot of credit. And I never really realized that the decisions I make in this career have huge implications for an entire, company and tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars in, decision making. And I was like, wait a second, I'm not just building my career anymore. I am, operating at a level that I didn't fully understand until this experience. And it gave me a lot of confidence in what I could do professionally. And then in my personal life, I really love experiences and I'm super good at going somewhere and creating like a wonderful itinerary and meeting new people and, seeing all that a place has to offer. And I really value that. And I started talking through ways in which I had done that in my past and realized that maybe that I had a skill in that area too, where I'm good at connecting with people and I'm good at having fun. And even if I'm traveling alone, I can have a super rich experience in my life that, I don't need another person there. Obviously, it is a lot of fun to have other people around, but that only helps enrich the experience that I already know I can do for myself.
That is so, like, I mean, I'm just thinking, like, when you're talking about this, I'm just picturing this mirror of being able to see yourself in this new light. It just feels like a superpower of being able to see yourself for who you really are and be able to appreciate those things. Because most of us, we look in the mirror and we talk about how we could be doing better and how we mess this up and how I'm not good at this and I don't like this. And being able to say, I'm really good at this. I'm really good at this. I really enjoy this stuff. That is so powerful.
It's one thing to have a therapy session once a week for an hour. It's another thing to really get outside of your own head for 8 hours in a row sitting with
Okay.
somebody and
Yeah, I
talking
was going to
to them.
ask how long they last.
Yeah, it was all day. It's 8 hours.
Okay.
And so to sit there and pick through my life in detail and really talk about like all of the little things that, you don't have time to do when you're just there once a week. We both had realizations about the types of thing, who I am and the types of things that were going on in my life. And she had said, during that first session, she said, Kevin, magic maker. You can create magic in the world, whether it's for people or for yourself or, you know, for just an experience. And all of the things that you're doing in your career, you know, like realize what you have the ability to do and that it could only get better. And that was the thing where, you know, we started working on that in the second and the third times that I did this is like, what could that look like? And, you know, is the sky the limit? And, you know, how do I want to build a life that is, you know, within the scope of my dreams and not the scope of my current situation?
So did you end up leaving that job and going into something different?
I did. I went to a new company, which is a even larger company with a lot more responsibility. You know, I made a pretty big upgrade in my career shortly after that. And I moved cities. I moved to New York City from where I was. And it was kind of a dream of mine to do that. And being here now and all the things that I had kind of had in the back of my head that I always wished that I was going to do one day, I'm doing them. And coincidentally, my new job has tons of worldwide travel. So I've been able to go to Tokyo and London and Barcelona and all of these amazing places and, you know, take some extra time to, you know, take a few days off or a long weekend and just go experience that place. And the richness of my life has dramatically increased. And I really feel like I'm living a dream at this point.
That is so cool. I mean, breakups, I think, can be a launching pad for everybody, regardless of the situation. And, you know, it can be regardless of what therapy you choose and what healing you do. But this is like super launching pad of being able to leapfrog leaps and bounds over, you know, the things that were holding you back. Did you feel going through that, did you feel the tie or the hold that your ex had on you went away?
It eventually did. I think I was scared at first. Like I was risk averse in switching careers because, you know, I didn't want to upset the apple cart of our finances and things like that when we were, you know, we just bought this house and we had the wedding coming up. But I was able to take a risk and, you know, do something that was maybe out of my comfort zone. So I think that helped go like, okay, I wouldn't have done that otherwise, or at least I wouldn't have had the courage to do it otherwise. Mm-hmm. And then being in the new city, I was like, well, you know, if I leave, I'm really leaving, you know, I'm going to be on the other side of the country. And that was scary too. And it's like, I'm going to have to make new friends. I'm, you know, not in college anymore. It's harder to make friends these days. And, you know, I'm going to have to completely reset my life. And I did them both at the same time. So it's like new career, new city, you know, especially New York City. So yeah, it was scary. But then after I started to feel more comfortable in the new job and in the new city and feeling those experiences and gaining the richness, I think I started to feel like I was moving at my own pace and on a different journey now. And that actually eventually led me to finding somebody new who is wonderful. And I think sees all those things in me that I see in myself that, you know, if I'm honest, I don't know that I was revealing properly to my ex and that maybe I had kept hidden away and that I probably had a little bit of resentment toward feeling like I couldn't fully be this person that I maybe deep down always wanted to be. And so, yeah, it all just started to kind of move in a different direction.
That's incredible. And I think it's so true that people can only really meet you at the level that you're able to meet yourself. So if you can't appreciate certain qualities about yourself, it's really hard for someone else to do that too. And I think that's the mistake a lot of people make is they hope that a partner will bring out something in them that they can't see or raise their confidence. When in reality, it's you really have to do that on your own in order for you to meet someone who can match you at those different levels. So ongoing, will you continue to do these more intense healing sessions, or is this just something that's on kind of a maintenance thing, or do you feel like you can step back for a while? What's the kind of maintenance protocol for this?
It's kind of left up to me. It's, you know, we still continue to hit on the themes in therapy that came out of that set of journeys that I did. I may choose to do one more this year as I'm really like feeling that I'm stepping into this new life and into this new relationship, and how that is going to be, a different experience, and the things that I want to make sure that I'm showing up for, and what I want to bring with me and what I don't want to bring with me into that relationship. So, I think getting that deeper level of understanding can help there too. But I would say it's a little bit more on a maintenance mode. I think that, shift has been made in myself and my mentality, that it's not something that I feel like is a repetitive need.
That's great. I mean, and obviously I only know you in this particular context, but it feel I mean, it seems like just talking to you that you've had a complete shift in how you see yourself and therefore, and that's the thing. It's like if you can start with yourself for that, the shift will happen everywhere, and the friends that you choose and the career that you have and the partners that you choose to date. It's gonna be like it's gonna go everywhere. So this is something I've always been really particularly interested in because of my like recovery background. I've always been like, oh, is this something that for me? But talking to you has been so interesting and really has piqued my interest in it.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. I think that it starts with yourself, and I started to see it get reflected back to me pretty quickly from the people around me, that, my parents said, "Hey, you're back."
Wow, that's
That was
huge.
huge. Both of them were like, whatever that was, it helped. And I went out to go to see some friends in a different, all my college friends got together in a different state. And it was shortly after that first journey. And they all were like, wow, you really seem better and different. And then now, I've been able to meet some really interesting people out here in New York, that, and just all the travel and the experiences and the richness. Like, my cousins will call me up and they're like, what is going on with your life, dude? You're like a rock star. Which, it may seem that way if you're in high school and I'm like in Tokyo, going snowboarding and stuff. But yeah, everybody in my life was just like, whoa, like this was a huge transformation. And I saw it in myself. And again, moving on to a different partner, that attracted her as well. She was like, you're super interesting. You live your life in a way that makes you happy and that enriches yourself and enriches the people around you. And, just the amount of generosity that I feel toward family and friends, and how much outreach and love, and the way that I approach them and the world, it radiates. And it attracted somebody who really picked up on that. And we were able to kind of vibe on that energy. And, interestingly, she had a similar story where she had like a super sudden, breakup after 4 years. So we had a connection in that too. But, I think it was really about who I was and how I was showing up that allowed another person to kind of fit with that.
I mean, this is such a good reminder to end on. It's when people will say, what do I need to do to attract a partner? It's figure out a way to really know yourself and love yourself, because that's so attractive to see someone that's like, you are living your life in a way that clearly you love and clearly you're excited about, and you just emanate that. Like, that's how you attract a partner. I mean, what better way to like attract someone than at your highest state where you're totally being yourself? Because then you're not having the anxiety of they're gonna find me out. They're not gonna find me interesting. They're gonna get tired of me. It's like, no, if you meet someone when you're at your truest self, like that's the best way to start a relationship. So I'm really glad you reached out and wanted to share this, because it's a great victorious breakup story, which is great too. But I think also really offering a different kind of healing modality that if someone's feeling stuck, like this could be another option. So obviously do it in a therapeutic setting, as you attested to. But I'm really glad that you could share this story.
I think I just hope that if it's helpful for other people, whether it's the story itself or if they want to research and explore that type of therapy, I mean, it worked for me, that's for sure. And so, yeah, I hope that people find it useful. And I mean, of course, as you mentioned, like, it all turned out pretty well for me, and that's no guarantee, but it put me on a different path of understanding at the very least. And so if that's something that people are interested in researching, then as you said, in a professional environment, in a therapeutic environment, and follow all of your state laws and things like that.
Yeah.
But
I'll put a disclaimer at the beginning.
yeah, absolutely. But no, I mean, it's just something that I think is people are uncovering more these days. And if it's something that somebody may have had some interest in and this helped them explore further and maybe heal themselves as well, then really, I think that's the best thing.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Kevin. This was great.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you loved it, I hope you'll leave a review and share with your friends. If you're not already following me on Instagram, head to @yourbreakupbestie, where I'm sharing new content almost every day. To join our Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with thousands of people from all over the world going through breakups, head to the link in the show notes. And don't forget to check out my online courses for more in-depth help through your healing journey. I always end these episodes the same way, reminding you to be nice to yourself, stay connected with loved ones, and the biggest reminder is that this too shall pass. I promise.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.